Okay, cool. How are you today, Ron?
I am doing awesome, man. How are you?
I'm good. I gotta get ready to do my radio voice, you know, my podcast voice.
There you go. You gotta bring it.
I gotta do my intro. And of course, this gets edited out of the podcast, but it'll be on the video that we're doing. So
yes, well, these little soundbite clips make really cool, like little intro deals. So there you go.
Yeah. So I gotta
a little lemon juice.
That might be a little dramatic. Maybe
clean the pipes.
Maybe. Okay, I'm ready. Let's talk about business. Let's help people. Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining me on the Quick Talk Business Podcast. My name, as you know, is Joshua Latimer, and my job is simple, is to bring you real life insights from some of the small business success stories from all over the world. Today is a special episode. It's unique. It's a little different than anything I've done before. Not only am I actually video recording this conversation with my friend Ron, but I'm talking to a guy who's really outside of the home service space. And his name's Ron Gibson. He comes from the absolutely wild and fascinating state of Iowa.
Boom.
A little bit of sarcasm there, but seriously, he's doing big things. He's become a very close friend, and he's the guy that I do my weekly mastermind group with. And it's been a crazy journey. We're going to talk about all kinds of fun stuff. Ron, thank you for carving out some time today to do the recording. How are you?
Hey, man, I am great. Thanks for the invite, and love what you're doing. Love your podcast, and look forward to being on it here.
Yeah, well, I think you're going to bring a lot of value to people. So sometimes people get confused, and they think that whatever trade they're in, whatever their technical profession is, that's kind of where they need to live, and those are the people they need to network. But there is a lot to be gained from just business in general, because there's so much crossover. I mean, mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if you're selling software, if you're selling, you know, a new roof to someone, if you're cleaning something. Most businesses have the same internal guts in the architecture. You know, you have a sales team, you have a way that you manage your customer relationships, you have, you know, all these different moving parts, and it's basically the same thing. So let's get into that a little bit. Can you first tell us who you are and a little bit about your background?
Yeah, so my name is Ron Gibson. I am the co-founder and president of a faith-based startup called ChurchSpring, which we've created a platform for churches to leverage that to really further digital discipleship, both through websites, church management software, discipleship software, learning management, all kind of put into one. So a little bit about my background prior to that. I've kind of been all over the United States. I've lived, born and raised in Ohio. Go Bucks. Of course, I can't have a podcast without saying Go Bucks.
No, my good Michigan, how dare you pollute Michigan my right podcast here. With that.
Okay. I just gained you a ton of supporters with Go Bucks. I mean, that's like half the country right there.
Is the college still open? Do they still do stuff? Moving on.
So we're going to have to tie back into our mastermind group and the penalties that we've had to pay.
Yeah.
And the fact that I'm still getting mail from the University of Michigan Athletic Department, which I love, by the way.
Yep.
Anyway, so a lot of my background is in software and digital marketing. I'm the former vice president of sales and marketing for a very large faith-based software and learning management company, and left there to do another startup of a digital marketing firm. I've worked with some very large faith-based brands, then moved on to join a digital marketing firm, one of the biggest firms here in our region, and just some amazingly have had the pleasure of working with some amazingly talented people, and now focusing full-time on ChurchSpring and connecting with churches around the country and around the world to help them in the area specifically of digital discipleship. And we kind of summarize that in the area of what is discipleship. Really, it's three legs. It's reaching people, teaching people, and then sending those who are called into different areas. So that's a little bit about what I'm doing now. And this is actually, at the day of this recording, my very first full-time day from sidepreneur to full-time entrepreneur of growing and furthering ChurchSpring. And it's been an awesome journey. So anyway, that's a little bit about me.
Hey, Ron, that's awesome. And I want to unpack that a little bit for some people. Let me give you a nutshell version. Ron is a sales and marketing expert. He specializes in software. I mean, you're being a little modest, but you've personally sold millions of dollars in software over many years. You're the vice president of sales for a multi-million dollar, you know, web-based company. That's really cool. And so that's a whole nother world. And a lot of the guys that listen to this, they're home service companies. So they might be thinking, how does this apply? Well, we're going to get into that in a minute. And
well, and that's the cool, the really cool thing about this is you were talking about software and selling multi-millions of dollars for the software. The tools that we leverage to do that are tools that any small business owner can use. It's just, it's not about just using tools. It's about having the right strategy behind how they utilize those tools. And ultimately, when you have the right mix, you can do some amazing things. So we'll talk a little bit more about that, but absolutely.
Yeah, and a lot of small home, local hometown businesses, they operate as lone rangers a little bit, and they kind of try to do everything themselves. And the disadvantage of doing that, well, there's many disadvantages, but one of them is you can't put together a real strategy unless you have a team. You know, it's hard to be the HR department, the office manager, the technician. You're changing the own brake pads in your own company vehicle. You're also, you know, the customer complaint department and the whatever, mm-hmm. and then try to put together some strategy. So it can be difficult. So, you know, in my boot camp, I talk a lot about, you know, how to assemble a world-class team and how to lead them. And you know better than anybody that things can get really interesting when you have a team around you. And even with Church Spring, we talked, you know, before we started recording this, how you had your first, you know, team meeting, because some of your staff members are from all over the world. But yeah, there's so many directions we can go with this. But I want to start with accountability. So absolutely. We started this going in this mastermind. You organized it. We found each other. You found me on a little website called Fizzle because yes. I have a software company. I was trying to network with some people to learn. I have a lot to learn in that space. And we connected and we started doing it. So why did you start the mastermind group? What did you hope to gain out of it? I mean, what was the purpose?
Absolutely. So Church Spring is an idea and a concept that has been on my really heart and mind for over 15 years. And it was something that through kind of this journey and different people that God brought along the way, that we just weren't getting the momentum that we really needed to get to really carry us. And momentum in business, and you know this, Josh, momentum in business is huge. So as we, as I kind of sat and reflected, I realized I need more accountability in my life, as well as I need that support system to help kind of further this this initiative forward, or it wasn't going to happen. Things just don't happen. Ideas are nothing without execution. And so basically, long story short, had listened to the Fizzle podcast. So shout out to those guys. They're doing a great job over there of really giving some great information out. They did this free 30-day trial and got on there, used a template of kind of what we're looking for in the mastermind and put that out there. And it was amazing. The people that came that were really interested in joining. And we started. I mean, there were five of us when we first started. And it's been by far, I will say, one of the best things that I've done to really help not just have accountability, but really speed up momentum and give ideas. And Josh, you mentioned it earlier, no matter what kind of business you're in, you can always learn from other people. And coming from the digital marketing world and a digital marketing agency where you're working with, you know, massive universities to the little small town plumbing store. And on all of those different businesses that you work with, there's always something that you can learn. And when we started our mastermind group, we had people who, you know, were starting software companies, some faith-based, some not, some who were starting more coaching companies, some who just had an idea of, and an amazing idea of how can I do, you know, this kind of business as missions concept and really implement that through coffee. And it was just amazing. I mean, we had great sessions. And really it was one of the first times kind of as a solopreneur that I felt like I wasn't alone because I had a team almost. I felt like you guys were all my team around me that were encouraging, you know, when I'm on the hot seat, I'm getting feedback and I'm getting all these different perspectives to really help kind of clarify in my mind, what is it that I'm really trying to do? What's really important? And then to really focus my time in on those things that are really going to move the needle for me. And that made a huge difference. It was also great because one of the things I enjoyed, honestly, of leading teams, I've had 10 direct reports, over 150 indirect reports in my career. And one of the things, honestly, that I really loved was the whole mentorship and being able to give back to other people and pour into other people. And the mastermind group was really an excellent outlet for that as well, where they could come every week. Somebody was on the hot seat and they would come and they would talk about their update for the week, how things were going with their business, what was the biggest pain that they had. And then we collectively would go back and forth and give them ideas on how can you get over this hurdle. And it was just awesome to just have real, authentic, transparent, just real conversations about business and about the struggles that people face. And sometimes those struggles had nothing to do with traditional business. It was more of, I've got to find balance. You know, I'm a mom. How do I find the balance in my business from the faith, family, work? And that was really the three pillars that we started that mastermind with, was we want entrepreneurs who want to live that faith, family, work balance. And obviously that's, yes, business, but also the components outside of business that are critical to a well-rounded, happy, fulfilled life.
Yeah. Well, there's about 73 things I could talk about right now, but because you're firing me up. But yes, so faith, family, work was definitely one of the core reasons we founded that. That's something that, you know, my heart wants. You know, I want to put my faith first, my family second, my work, but it often doesn't happen. But by being in a group of like-minded people, it really puts the pressure on you to execute, like you said. You know, an idea without a date on it, without any accountability, is just a dream, right? It's not even a real goal. So how do you make things happen? You don't have to call it a mastermind group, but get around people who are trying to go in the same direction that you're going, because, you know, iron sharpens iron kind of thing. And it is really cool to be on the hot seat and have that team atmosphere every week. It's been a huge thing, right?
Yep, absolutely. I mean, that's honestly one of the most powerful parts. And they say you're the average of the top five people that you hang out with. So when you get into a mastermind, if that's something you feel like you should do, be very selective about the people that you get in your mastermind group with. We were blessed right out of the gate. We got connected with some very talented people, and we were selective about who we let into that group initially. And obviously that's changed throughout time. But that weekly accountability, one of my favorite parts of that group is at the end of every session we would do, each team member would lay out 2 to 3 goals that they wanted to accomplish for that week. And they would go around, they would verbally say it during the mastermind, as well as we had a private Facebook group that we would utilize, that each of us would go on there. We had our little picture on there, and we would put, here are our goals for the week. If you were struggling throughout the week, you could comment on there to get encouragement. Or if you knocked off one of your goals, you could also mention that as well. And everybody would, you know, congratulate you for accomplishing that. But one of the things that we put in, it's the people accountability, but it's also knowing that there's going to be a consequence if you don't get the thing accomplished that you needed to get accomplished. So that was one of the things that we laid out right in the beginning of our mastermind, was what are the penalties if you don't get your goals done? And, you know, some groups, they're kind of, you know, they're more serious or less serious, or some don't even have penalties, but we wanted a serious group. This wasn't a kumbaya session, you know, at 9 o'clock every Wednesday night that we were going to do. We wanted people who were serious about growing their business, serious about helping others, and therefore were willing to put a penalty that was going to hurt their wallet a little bit. And so we all went around, selected organizations that we didn't necessarily want to make donations to. And I personally, and Josh, you can share yours, but I personally, again, I'm a huge, born and raised in the Buckeye State, love Ohio State football. So of course, naturally for me, I picked the University of Michigan Athletics Department. That was who my penalty, and I had to give one penalty because I didn't get my goals done 1 week, and I was going to keep myself accountable. So now I get lovely mail from the University of Michigan Athletic Department, which I've tried profusely to get off their list. So now I get that reminder.
I got the same thing coming, because I also had to pay a penalty to the Ohio State University, right?
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, yeah. Yes. So it's a nightmare. I can't unsubscribe from their email list or some sort of glitch. It emails me every couple weeks, but thanking me for my generous donation. But the point is this, is surround yourself with like-minded people, get yourself accountability, have fun with it, but also take it really seriously. And what I wanted to say was, when I was younger, I would do anything I could to escape accountability, right? Like when I was a teenager, it's like you want to grow up and you want to go do your own thing and be my own man and I know better and nobody can tell me. And it's like you're running from accountability. And the ironic thing is that I find myself now, 4 kids later, you know, multiple businesses and all this stuff going on, and I crave accountability. I can recognize my own need for accountability. So I've come full circle, Ron. I'm, absolutely. I need it. You know, it's good. The friction, the pressure, the accountability of accountability. It works.
Absolutely. And there are so many organizations that, you know, we were building, a lot of the people were building online products. So for us, you know, we were out there looking for people who were doing some online solution, whether that be software based or online kind of productized services type based. But for those people who may be listening to the podcast who run local service-based businesses, there are still tremendous opportunities for you to get involved, even with local people or maybe even people outside of your local community. You know, there's things like Growth Coach, a lot of different organizations like that that you can get involved with. A good friend of mine who runs a digital marketing firm, he says that's one of the things that made the biggest difference for him was getting involved in Growth Coach. And if it wasn't for a Growth Coach or a thing like a mastermind group to keep you accountable, to give you a network of people that are just as passionate about their businesses as well as they are about helping you grow your business, it makes all the difference in the world. Like you said, iron sharpens iron. No man is an island. So if you can get those people around you to help support you moving forward, it will make all the difference in the world. And, you know, our mastermind, now that we're down to it's us now, through kind of a series of events, which has honestly been great. We've been able to get even more concentrated, and we'll see how things continue to unfold. But it's made a huge difference. Honestly, I don't think I would be sitting here today focusing on my own startup full time. And I know this without a shadow of a doubt. There's no way I would be focused on my full time starting today if it wasn't for the mastermind group and the support of the conversations that we've had. So yeah. So thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you too. I mean, you've had a lot of major insights for me as I move into a new space that I'm not familiar with. But, you know, if you guys sit around, everybody listening, and hope that your business is going to save your day someday, and hope that your next guy that you hire is going to just magically take stuff off your plate, and you're going to magically grow things, you're just self-deluded, and you are responsible for you. And the thing that Ron did that was unique, that a lot of people don't do, is he took action. He reached out, he wrote big long emails, he figured out a Google Hangouts, he set it all up, he invited people. I mean, he put it out there. He put it into the world, and we grabbed onto it, and we've derived value because of his action. He took massive action. So in your business, if you want to grow, if you want to get more automated, if you want to get more systemized, if you want to have a better company culture, if it's a drag to work for you and you want to turn that around, you got to take action. It doesn't have to be perfect action. Mm-hmm. It just has to be something. And so mastermind, to me, it's about forcing ourselves, you know, to take action in bite-sized chunks every week.
Yeah. And there's no substitute for action. You know, I'm one of my faults over the years, and why it's taken me, honestly, 15 years to get to this place, is that I'm a strategy guy. Like, that's, you know, for those who have done the Strength Finders, and if you haven't done it, I would highly encourage you to do it. And you have a team. Your team should do it too, so you really understand the different makeups and the top strengths of the people. And I could rabbit trail there, but I won't. But it's so, so important that there is no replacement for, like you said, massive, massive action. And it's amazing the momentum. Once you get going and you start taking action, what you can accomplish in a very short period of time. But there is no substitute. A lot of people, they get too focused on the idea, and it's like they just wallow in the idea and think that, oh, I had this idea. Well, guess what? There were a lot of people who had the idea of Facebook. There were a lot of people who had that idea, but who went out and actually did something about it? There's no replacement for massive action and for the courage to take massive action.
Yeah, and what having courage doesn't mean that you're not afraid. It doesn't mean that you have all the answers. Having courage, I tell this to my sons all the time. I say, no, boys, don't get confused. Being brave, having courage, you're still afraid, but you do the right thing anyway. That's why it's so epic. I mean, if you weren't afraid at all, can you really even call it courage to begin with? I mean, so you're not going to have all the answers. You're not going to figure out every how question, which people are so obsessed with. It's like, well, what do you want? And they're like, well, but how am I going to? No. What do you want? Yeah, but how am I going to do that? Or I don't know how to do. It's like, wait a second. What do you want? And then after you know that, what can you do? What massive action can you take today? Without having all the answers, without being perfectly comfortable, what can you do right now to move you a little bit towards that, to take some action right now? And it's those little bite-sized chunks. And that I honestly struggle with that. You know, I'm an all or nothing person. Like when I work out, I work out until I want to puke, or I just sit on the couch and eat Cheez-Its all day and do nothing. It's like, it's hard for me to have that steady, consistent thing. And I think other people are like that too, but.
Absolutely. Well, and I think people, like I said, they give too much credit to the idea and not enough credit to the execution. And that's why they are where they are. And I think a big part of that too, is that, like you said, there's this elephant. Well, you have to eat an elephant one bite at a time. So you have to put systems in place in your business to say, how do I break down this big vision elephant that I have? I mean, we went out and decided with ChurchSpring that one of the facets of our software company is a content management system. Well, that's crazy, first of all. You know, with WordPress and so many other Wix and so many other platforms out there, why in the world would you go out and build your own? Well, there were many reasons. There was the short term, which said just build on top of WordPress, like many people have done in our market. But for us, it was no, we're going to look long term and say, yes, it's going to hurt in the short term, but long term, it's worth it. So we had to break that down and say, how in the world do we build a content management system and a discipleship platform that tens of thousands of churches can use that are going to get millions of visitors both through live streaming and all the different aspects of our platform? How do we do that? So we broke it down. We put systems in place. One of those was we went to a weekly sprint process, which we maybe can go into. Maybe we'll have to do a second round of this. But we put the systems in place from the tools. We put the systems in place from a mindset, most importantly, of breaking down the elephant and saying, okay, what's the bite-sized chunk we can get done for this week? Then the next week, then the next week. And it's amazing the absolute momentum and speed that you can start moving forward with when you do that. And probably the biggest thing, it's not the tools. It's not any of those things that give you the big, it's the mindset that I can chunk this thing up. I can eat it a bite at a time. And with that, we can accomplish great things. Thing that you in your wildest dreams, you never thought you can do. If you break it down into bite-sized chunks, it's amazing what you can do.
Absolutely. And it's so hard to see that for some people sometimes, including myself. I mean, think of 6 months ago, everybody listening, right? 6 months ago until today, right? It was like 2 seconds, right? It's like, it's amazing how quick time flies when you're looking backwards at it. Well, when you're looking forwards, you can feel emotionally overwhelmed by stuff, but you have to listen to what Ron's saying. And the same things that I teach in Automate, Grow, Sell, and everything I talk about is you have to reverse engineer a plan, which is what you did with your CMS system. And you have to reverse engineer, and then just, it's all about the daily behaviors, the small little actions. And you only have so much willpower, but if you surround yourself with like-minded people and you keep getting up and moving forward, the next 6 months will go by just as fast as the last one did. And you're going to have a ton more stuff in place for your business. And it doesn't mean it will be everything that you want it, but you're going to have another layer of that foundation laid. So I think that's incredible. And it relates to cleaning companies or anybody. It's a mindset. Like you said, it's a way of viewing the world. Let's move on into one little realm here of the faith, family, work thing. Cause we're both Christians and I'm unashamedly a Christian. In fact, I have a problem with how passive, you know, Christian men are now. You know, it's like these little, they're scared. They sit around and like, well, my job's to be really nice. Well, no, it's not. Our job isn't to be mean, but the Bible doesn't say, and thou shalt be nice, right? Jesus spoke the truth, right? In love. Mm-hmm. And everybody wanted, look what they did to him, right? So, I mean, the point of being a Christian male, we're so neutered. It's like we feel bad for succeeding in business. We feel bad or guilty for wanting to achieve greatness and to have excellence in our life and to try to win and compete in business and to try to dominate the competition and just to go crush it, right? Mm-hmm. And we hop on our mastermind call. We don't sit there and just pray and cry to each other all day because we're Christian men. No, we strategize on how to execute on the business because I view business as my ministry. I view business as my thing. It's in my bones. It's in your bones. What does that look like? Unpack some of what I said. What's your thoughts on what I just said, Ron?
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things that I'm like you, I'm super passionate about is, you know, faith, family, work. And, you know, I went to a Christian college in Florida and received a great education. But one of the things that one of my professors told me at one point in time was that, you know, as a believer, we can't do things as well as those who are non-believers because we go to church on Sunday and we do these things. And that just never struck a chord with me. When he said it, the instant it came out of his mouth, I'm like, no way. you're wrong. And the reason that I believe you're wrong is because I believe that I'm a child of the King. And I believe that with God on my side, the Bible says anything is possible. So if God's called me to something, no matter how big that something is, like going out and building a content management system or going out and creating training courses and resources, when you have God on your side and God's called you to that, all you've got to do is take the step of faith and God will take care of the rest. And I can speak very, very openly about that, even just in you know, with my new startup with ChurchSpring. Man, when I went in and resigned my position, six-figure job, great company, I mean, amazing company. It was wonderful to resign from a position in a company that I loved. It wasn't because I hated it. They were an amazing, amazing, amazing company. However, I knew that God was calling me to something else. And for over a year, I would say, I kind of fought it. And my wife, who is one of the most supportive women, praise God. I know you've got an amazing wife that's supportive as well. And I'm so thankful for that. But she was saying, okay, it's time for you to do this, like for a year. Okay, it's time for you to do this. I'm like, ah, it's just not time yet. Anyway, long story short, I went in, resigned my position, and there were a lot of things that weren't figured out yet. And I'm not saying this is right for everybody. I'm not saying jump on the adrenaline surfboard and ride the wave. But what I am saying is when God calls you to do something, if you've got that relationship with Him and you're in the Bible and you're in God's Word and you're in prayer, then you need to take that step, because guess what? You don't know two steps ahead. But God does. You just have to take that step. And after I went in and resigned that day, and these the three partners in the business, again, amazing, amazing dudes. And they were super supportive. But it was like with either that evening or the evening afterwards, I ended up having a call with a church. And that church, you know, I thought it was just going to be, okay, there's the potential of one prospective client for ChurchSpring that we can serve. That one church ended up turning into the potential of over 300 churches signing up for the ChurchSpring service.
Yeah.
So like taking that bold, and you said it earlier, courage doesn't mean the absence of fear.
Right.
Courage means there is fear and you're going to take the step. And when you've got God on your side, I mean, we're, you know, if you have that perspective, and not to preach here, but when you're a child of the King, you need to act like it. And that doesn't mean going around with tissue and sobbing because, well, I'm a Christian and that means this is like God's called you to do something and make a huge impact in the world. So whether you're called to be a pastor, if you're called to be a pastor, go be a pastor. If you're called to be a missionary, go be a missionary. But guess what? If you're called to be a Christian entrepreneur, that is just as important as the calling of the pastor on their life, because that's what God's called you to. The mission field in business is massive.
Oh, it's massive. I mean, capitalism is so polluted now. The idea of, you know, build something, create something, lift yourself up, and by default, you lift those around you up. Everything's so corrupt, and people are so skeptical, and they're over it, and these companies are so big, and there's just nothing's, there's no fair weights and measures, you know. It's so corrupt, the way the banking system works and fractional reserve banking. I'm not going to go down that road, but there's so much stuff broken, but we can make huge impacts in little tiny ways in our companies. And I remember even with the first person I ever hired, my job was to love that guy and to be a light into his world. That doesn't mean I'm not perfect. My God, I'm so sick of trying to act like we're supposed to be nice, sanitized, neutered Christian men. That's not what it is at all. It's not even real. It's fake. It's inauthentic. Do you think King David walked around and talked to his mighty men, right? You know, the guy who killed Goliath, he was the king of Israel. You think he walked around and was like, well, you know, we're going to have a team meeting, everybody. Just gather around. And how's everybody feel? Does everybody feel okay? You know, no, this guy was the tip of the spear maniac. And did he love the Lord? Yeah, a lot. Did he make mistakes? Yes. Did he repent? Yes. But he did stuff. And when he killed Goliath, he had to go walk out there, get the stones, walk out there, and, you know, that's massive action coupled with the faith.
Yeah, exactly. You want to talk about bold, courageous action? I mean, that's it right there. I mean, that's it. So, but God's calling many of us to do the same thing, just in a different way.
Well, you said you got this lead to get 300 churches, which, you know, hundreds of thousands in revenue. It's a massive, huge thing that is sitting in front of you right now. Most people, Ron, they don't take the action. They're waiting for the 300 opportunity to happen. Then they'll take the action, right?
Yep. And that was me. To be very transparent, that was me. I was the guy that I wanted the guarantee. Before I went and I, you know, quit my day job, focused on the thing I'm truly passionate about, had the life that I, you know, started structuring the life that my wife and I were really looking for, I was waiting for that perfect opportunity, the big deal or the multiple deals to close. And it was funny because that's not how it worked. Yeah. I had to take the step. And once I took the step, God brought it. And I want to say this. I think it's very – this can be dangerous because people can hear this and be like, oh, I need to jump on this adrenaline thing and just go after it. Yeah. And I think that there is balance you have to have. And ultimately, at the end of the day, that's how God worked it out for me. And I knew God wanted me to take that step. If you know that God wants you to take that step, and the way that you know that through the litmus test of you're in God's word and you're praying and you're asking for God's desires to be the desire of your heart and God's still pushing you in that direction. I waited for so long because I was waiting for the smoke signal. I was waiting for this thing. I can't tell you how many people I've met with, mentors, godly men. And no one can tell you when it's right for you.
Yeah.
No one can tell you this is when you need to take this step. Now, they can give you great advice, but they can't tell you it's the green light. And that's what, when you're in God's word, when you're in prayer and you're seeking his heart, God will make it clear and then go.
Well, imagine someone asking King David, are you sure God told you to kill Goliath? I don't know, man. You know, it's like you just got to go for it if you know. But I moved to Costa Rica, sold all of our stuff. That was a 2-year process for us. We didn't do it in 5 seconds. You know, it's like I felt this weird feeling like, God, you know, I just feel like we need to move to Costa, which I thought was an island, and it's not. I mean, I didn't even know the place. And that tug never went away for a year. Yeah. And then it was on my wife, too. And then when I wasn't feeling it, she was. And when she wasn't, I was. And, we put things in place. You know, I actually sold my cleaning business without ever putting it for sale. A lot of people don't know that because it was just timed out. It had to happen. It would have been difficult for me to manage it. I really wanted to sell it, but everything just lined up. But it was after we had already taken steps, made 3 trips down there, networked, connected with people, tried to figure out residency, all that stuff. So yeah, and the last thing on this, and we can switch over to something else, is I love the analogy of 2 farmers, and they both pray for rain, right? But only one of them gets out there and starts planting seed in the ground. And that's really what the massive action is. It's like faith without works is dead, right? It's like do something. Go after it, take massive action, coupled with, that's the evidence of your real faith, to be honest, anyway. So, but I know what it's like to be on the other side of that, too. So anyway, for us, faith, family, work, balance, how do we crush it? How do we have big, wild, audacious goals, but also be a great dad and cannonball with our kids in the pool and actually Amen. Be present in the moment when they talk to us? Because for me, I'm super bad at this. I love my family. They're my heart. But I get very, very focused on what I'm working on. And so it's hard for me to downshift, Do you struggle with that? What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the reasons that this shift is so good for my family was, I was, again, just even last week, I was making that daily commute, driving an hour one way, 2 hours of commute. That's time away from your family. I would get to see my daughter for a half hour a night before I rocked her to put her down for bed. And that's tough. And I believe that God had us go through that season, first of all. But I also know that there's a balance that has to be had. And for us, owning your own company, the entrepreneurship, there's struggles and there's a lot of struggles. But for us, really having intention, being intentional about setting family time aside, putting structure in place so you're just not physically there, but you're mentally there as well.
Yeah.
Is so, so important. For the first time in many weeks, got to do lunch with my girls. So I have 3 daughters, wife, did lunch with them. And this morning was just awesome. Man, I was just so on cloud 9. Things are moving, some good connections. And at lunch, I had to mentally say, okay, I'm mentally going to be not just physically present here for lunch with them and talk about their day and how things are going, but I am going to be mentally present with them as well. And I'll be honest, that's something that I'm going to continue to have to try, have that discipline with, because it is discipline, but it's something you have to do. And then really set structure. What are your work hours are going to be? What are those non-work hours going to be? What are you going to do to integrate your life? I think so many people have this work life and family life. Well, the question is, how do you live an integrated life where your work and your calling doesn't overlap or doesn't become more important than your family and vice versa? The reason work is so important is because I believe my job as the leader of my business and most importantly of my home is to lead my family, provide for my family, and protect my family. That's it. Lead, provide, and protect. Well, providing isn't number 1 on the list. It's not. And because of that, I have to make sure that I prioritize in a way that makes sure that not only am I providing for the physical need, but I'm providing for the emotional need as well. And that means being a present dad, yeah. going on date nights with your kids. You know, if you've got sons, have that time where you go out and you do that. You know, myself, I have a once a month date night with each one of my daughters. And I come prepared to that date night with questions that I want to ask them. So beyond just how was your day today? But okay, what did you learn in math class today? Or what was the highlight of your day today? And vice versa, what are the things that you really struggled with today? What are your mm-hmm. goals? You know, having, I think a lot of kids aren't prepared and aren't equipped for adulthood because they were never asked questions like, well, what are your goals?
Yeah.
What are your goals for today? What are your goals for this week? Not that you're trying to make them into these little entrepreneurial business machines, but they part of parenting and part of guiding them is to really get into what makes them happy. And based on what makes them happy, okay, well, what are the things that you need to accomplish today from a chores perspective, from a school perspective? But what are your goals for the day? And really unpacking that with them to help them set good goals.
Yeah.
All those things are important.
Right in the beginning when you started talking about that, you used the word intentional. And I love that word. I use that word all the time. And when we talk about business systems, right, I have my boot camp is automategrowsell.com, right? You could almost, in a way, call it intentionalgrowsell.com because a system or a business system that creates automation, all that means is that you're intentional about the mechanism and the way that you do something in some area of your business. But my wife jokes because she says I try to systemize our life, but she doesn't joke in a bad way because she likes it. She sees the value in it. So, you know, I have date night with my wife every Saturday night. I'll cross hell and do anything I can to make sure that happens. I mean, it is super critical that that Agreed. Happens.
Agreed.
And with my kids, I'm intentional. So, for years now, my oldest is only 9, but for the last 5 years, about 5 years now, I have Maverick Monday, Tucker Tuesday, Sawyer Sunday, and now I have a baby girl named Finley, so that she's going to get Finley Friday. I've only done one with her because she's only 6 months old, but the point is that they know that that's their day, and I do the same thing that you said. I ask them questions, you know, what do you want to do with your life? You know, what's interesting to you? What's something new that you've learned? What are your goals? You know, how's your leadership going? What have you been struggling with? And I literally asked that to my six-year-old, and the first few, you know, as you do it at first, it seems weird, but then you'll be shocked at some of the deep answers you can get out of these kids when they learn to engage and communicate at a higher level. You know, it doesn't have to be superficial.
Totally. And I think one of the things that even over the last couple of weeks has really been resonating in my mind is that there's this whole culture of being friends with your kids. And I think that parents who try to be friends with their kids are stealing from a deeper relationship that you can have in a parent-child relationship. Because being intentional as a parent means having those questions, talking about their things that make them happy, their deepest fears, the things they want to be when they grow up, being super intentional about leading them through life and guiding them through life. So that's been something that's just been really marinating on my mind is that, yes, I want my child to be able to come to me and be very brutally honest with me, and I think that's a culture that you set with them, but I want to have a deep child-parent relationship that goes beyond just surface-level, you know, parenting fun, but actually digging into the deep stuff in life that really matters. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just having some of those conversations with my oldest daughter, it's incredible. Absolutely incredible what goes on in their mind. And if you're not intentional about having those conversations when you go on date nights or whatever that is, even just the little times that you get, that is super powerful. But I would say this. You know, one thing that, as we've kind of gone all over the place, one thing that every person who listens to this podcast has to do, whether it's in your business, in your personal life, faith, family, work, whatever that looks like, you have to answer one question. And that question is, what does success look like for you? Because if you haven't defined what success looks like, so for me, success for me is I want to honor and glorify God in every facet of my life. And therefore, I have to package that into faith, so being involved in different ministries, family, what does that look like, including things like date nights with my kids, date nights with my wife, showing them, teaching them how to do certain things, and then work. What does that look like? we all sit down at the beginning of the year and set our business goals, right? What does success look like? Well, that could mean hiring people. That could mean bringing online new services in your service-based business. That could mean a certain revenue-specific goal or an average value per client goal. Well, guess what? If you only do that in your business, if your business is successful and you fail on the family front or on a faith front, if that's part of who you are, that is not success.
Yeah.
So you have to sit down and define success with those three things. What does it look like from a faith perspective? And if you don't have a faith, or if you don't have faith, man, I would encourage you to find it. And I know Josh specifically, he's given many avenues to reach out to him. I'll give my contact information away as well. Would love to connect with you to talk about faith. But family, what does success look like for your family? That could be vacations. That could mean date nights. That could mean an income level that you want to have. It could mean a lot of different things. But define what success looks like for your life. Quit just wandering through life. A lot of people's frustration and the stress that they have is because they've never defined success.
Yeah.
So they don't know where they're, going.
The first thing I ask on every single coaching call I have is, what is your why? What are we trying to do here? And like, well, Josh, I have a question about when I interview people, sometimes I'm like, no, hold on a second. Well, hey, I got my projections and I did my month over month, blah, 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 year over year. I'm like, whoa. What are we doing here? What are we trying to accomplish here? What is your why? And I force them to distill it down into two, three at the most sentences. You know, one is even better. But the point is that if we don't have a target, a destination, you can't reverse engineer any plan towards that. You have to know where you're going. And when you say, what does success look like for you? It's another way of saying, you know, what is your why? Why do you get out of bed really? Because it's not so you can clean a house. Right. You don't really get out of bed so you can make a sale with software, right? That's something you do. It's not who you are. And so it's awesome. I think we'll use that as the quote in the beginning of the podcast, what you just said there. It was really good stuff. And
awesome, man.
I want to encourage everybody to just push yourself in creating your why. A lot of people don't even know what it is, Ron. They just don't know. They don't. They've never stopped to think about it, really. You know, they just, my dad works really hard for a long, it's decades and decades in a job he's not particularly passionate about. And so over time, you just kind of get numb to, what do I want? You know, because my favorite statistic, after all, is 10 out of 10 people die. And no one lays on their deathbed and complains because they didn't get, you know, the new car back in 88. I wish I would have got the new Corvette instead of the used Corvette. I mean, it's always the same thing, isn't it? It's always the same song they're singing. I wish I would have been a better husband. I wish I would have been a better dad. You know, we have the opportunity to actually take that information out of all the people laying on their deathbed that all say the same thing. And I don't know, here's a crazy idea. Apply it to our life right now before we're 77 years old, right?
Yep. And that's always been something that's always resonated with me. You know, there's so many people that share their regrets. I wish. Well, what if we lived our life doing the things that we'll never regret? Like, I mean, as simple of a concept as that is, like, what are those things in your life that if you do them on a regular, even a daily basis, I will never regret it. I will never regret spending time with my wife. I will never regret spending time with my kids. I will never regret going out and trying to minister to people and make an eternal difference. I will never regret those things. Mm-hmm. So what if I actually structured my life in a way that allowed me to do the things that I would never regret? But the thing is, that doesn't just happen. That takes work.
No, it doesn't.
And that takes being very intentional. And I tell teams this and people that I work with, even a kind of a mentoring coaching level, that you need to get control of your calendar. Like, your calendar, if you're managing your life, like I know many entrepreneurs do, and I do, man, my Google calendar, that's where I'm going to be. So if I can get in control of my Google calendar, so then I sit down and I say, what are the things that are on my calendar that don't fall under the category of things that I'm never going to regret? And if there's too many things that are on there that I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to regret doing that. I'm going to regret doing that because there's just not enough mission-minded, missional firepower behind it. Then get it off my calendar and put something on there that is going to be something I won't regret. ChurchSpring, I'll never regret focusing on ChurchSpring. But ChurchSpring could be something I regret if what I'm doing there takes away from my family time. And now I've got so much of this that I don't have enough family time.
Yeah, and that totally happen. I mean, it can happen quick. It sneaks up on you.
It does. So I think that's that balance and making sure that, A, you know what success looks like, and then you really focus on the things that you're not going to regret and make sure that those things get on your calendar and then live it and be intentional. Be intentional about living out the plan that you put in front of yourself.
Right. And to all you guys out there who are feeling like you have some self-limiting beliefs going on and who am I syndrome and imposter syndrome, I think they call it, where it's like your business is okay, but when you start to dream about it being a little bigger, it feels like you're not the guy that can do that. That's all fake. It's all in your brain, and it's just not true at all. You don't have to be anything special. You just have to take massive action with the right priorities, the right core values, with the right people around you to encourage you. Ron, this has been a great conversation. I'm sure that it's going to help a lot of people. I just want to encourage everybody out there to take some massive action and try to improve yourself in whatever way that you can. Ron, thanks again. Do you have any final closing thoughts?
Yeah, I would just say, you know, if you get one thing from this podcast, define what success looks like for you. Do it. And be intentional about taking the next step to helping you accomplish the plan and the goals that you've set for yourself. So I would love to connect with anybody. If there's any questions, you can find me on Twitter at Ron Me. It's my name's spelled a little unique. It's R-O-H-N-M-E on Twitter. Connect with me there. Would love to connect and answer any questions here moving forward. So, hey, thanks for the opportunity to come online. Thanks for all you're doing, Josh. I know you've made a huge impact on my life personally. So thank you for that. And thank you for all you do for your community.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's happy. It goes two ways. So let's keep on going. It's going to be a great journey. We're going to have a lot of fun this year. And we're not going to feel bad at all when we make millions of dollars and we still have our faith intact at the same time. So we'll see you on Wednesday, I guess. Take care, Ron.
Yep. All right. Later.
Hey, thanks for hanging out, friends. And from all of us here at the Quick Talk Podcast team, we hope you loved today's show. We hope that you were inspired to become a doer and not just a listener. Apply what you've heard today in your own business and watch things change for the better. Lastly, remember that all the money in the world can't save your soul. Seek first the kingdom of God, my friends. We'll see you next time.
For more information about the Quick Talk Podcast or Joshua's other businesses, visit our website, quicktalkpodcast.com. Have a blessed day.